Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight, with me, Omar Abid, Sarah Clark, at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid.
Welcome back, Claire.
Thank you very much. Missed you.
Yeah, I really missed you too.
I saw you that day.
Yeah. And that night. Yeah. Oh, no, I went out.
Yeah, you did.
I did, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Keeping it fresh.
Yeah, mix it up a bit.
Well, welcome back. Do you have any thoughts on what we talked about and if we missed anything or...
No, it was good listening as, yeah, like you said,
as
when you
fan.
Were here, it was good listening as a listener, as a fan.
Oh, well, actually, I've just thought before we move on and get your kind of general thoughts about last week, talking about listening as a fan and a listener, have you guys noticed? Ads!
Oh, I know!
We've got ads, which I know. Fucking annoying.
You just have to fast forward.
That's why they invented the skip 30 seconds button. But it's a big deal for us.
It's a big deal for us. I did get caught up in that when I was listening. I was like, when's the next ad and what's it going to be? Who's going to advertise with us next?
Oh, it's the Trolls Band Together, the new Trolls film.
I know, I enjoyed that.
Well, people should know that it's going to benefit them in the long run because it means we can do more podcasts.
Yeah.
It means we might be able to have events in the future. We might be able to have some exciting things happen. All the money we will earn from those ads will go back into Maths Hysteria. We're not pocketing it. Spending on Pringles.
We're a community interest company.
I mean, Sarah only knows what I tell her, so.
So do I, actually. You're the only one who accesses the analytics.
If he starts wearing brand new, like, gold-plated clothes.
Like, I've done every episode so far in a hoodie, but suddenly start wearing silk shirts. they're still cool, right?
They always will be.
Right, well, yeah, let's get to your thoughts then. What do you think about...
So the spa day was a big deal, wasn't it, last time? Mm-hmm. And I think that you guys covered it really well. And I think...
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's my feedback on the episode.
Leave us a review.
reviews are good. I'll do that. I think something that struck me about the spa day was the amount of slow-mo camera action around the bikini shots, the swimming trunk shots. It was a lot. And that, I thought, was a bit surprising to me for maths.
Really?
Because, well, it just felt it was more than we've had before.
Gratuitous.
It was gratuitous.
Well, you and I
it was a lot.
You and I have talked about how it's not necessarily like body. There's not a lot of bigger sizes. It's quite conventional
not at all.
Size.
Yeah.
Well, not even conventional. The average person's a lot bigger than that.
Yeah.
Instagram sizing.
But even for the men, I suppose, as well. Like, you know, it happened a bit last night with Matt, didn't it? And I know we'll come to the new couples. But there was a lot of Matt in the gym, close-ups on his arms.
There just is a lot of Matt.
Yeah. It's a beefcake. Yeah. It's like Johnny Bravo. Do you remember Johnny Bravo? And I guess we were saying it might stop people applying for the show if they feel like it's going to be like bodies on display.
Yeah.
But some of the drama from the spa day has started to seep into last night's show, where we saw Ella talk to Nathaniel about her flirtation.
Yes.
With JJ.
That was... She was good on her for being open, I
suppose. She was really open.
But, like, her whole body language and stuff, like, sort of giggling, being, yeah, it was bad of me. You know, like, what the fuck?
Even when she said, oh, he just doesn't fancy Bianca. Really what she wanted to say is, because he fancies me.
Yeah.
That's how she knows. And she was kind of holding back from saying
that. That was the subtext,
that.
Wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. It very much
just
was,
just of all the people to say it to.
I know.
Well, I feel like it backs up my point on Friday where I said I don't think Nathaniel would feel slighted if Ella was to change affections or whatever. I don't think Nathaniel would feel slighted because I don't think he's that bothered. But he sort of brought it into Bianca's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh, you haven't thought he's got a wife, there's another wife. He kept bringing it back to Bianca, which I thought was good because obviously that's an important point to raise. But it wasn't like, oh, you've hurt and embarrassed me.
Yes.
I don't think Nathaniel really cares.
He did say he wasn't happy, and he did say, like, I'm your partner, he's not your partner, you shouldn't be flirting with someone who's not your partner.
True.
But I do know what you mean, Sarah. He wasn't like, he wasn't outraged,
he didn't feel
cuckolded in a Shakespearean sort of way, like, I'll kill him.
Yeah, exactly. He was, I mean, obviously he was bothered, but he wasn't really bothered.
Had a little eye twitch.
Yeah, he didn't seem so emotional.
I mean,
did
he even get up from lying back on the
set? No, it was very possible word. Laid down. But yeah, he brought it back to... And actually, I think when he mentioned Bianca, that's where Ella sort of flinched and was like, oh shit, yeah, this isn't amazing behaviour from me. She was sort of joking about it, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
About what happened. And then when he kept bringing up Bianca, she was like, oh yeah, maybe I shouldn't have... I don't know, was there any sort of... What's the word? Guilt there or sort of regret?
From, I think maybe a little bit. When she thought about Bianca, I think maybe a little bit. But I don't think she sees it as that big a deal. But was it a big deal? Like, they were just flirting.
Yeah, I don't... This whole, like, this Ella going, oh, that's just who I am and you have to live with it. It's like, well, it's pretty, sort of inappropriate. Like, it's not something... Like you said to me last night, if I went on a night out and it was just like... And I went out with you and Johnny and then came back and was like, oh, yeah, we had a good night. And me and Sarah were flirting. It was like, I didn't know, you know.
Yeah, well, no, we fancy each other, so we just had a flirt.
Oh, my God. That's so weird. The podcast. Think about the podcast.
That is great content.
Yeah, true.
Watch the podcast implode.
Yeah. And we'd shift some units, though.
Yeah, well, I think the reason I feel like it's a bigger deal is because it feels like it's not the end of the flirtation. Ella and JJ feels like it's maybe going to go somewhere.
I think
you can almost tell from the way that they're following the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, like, we're not stupid. Sometimes the way that things are edited and shown, you're like, well, if they're showing that, something's going to happen. Because else, why did they bother showing that?
Yeah.
So I have the sense that there might be some sort of... Who knows? We'll see.
I think so. And we have seen that bit of the next dinner party, haven't we? Where Ella is particularly upset and angry and storms off.
Yes.
And Nathaniel's being seemingly comforted, perhaps, by Laura.
I think there's quite a lot of name calling going on and shouting. Yeah. And then the other thing that seeped out from the spa day was JJ and Bianca going for dinner with Erica and Jordan. And I was like, oh, what they cooked? Yeah. Nachos. I thought it was like some amazing, like, lasagna.
And fajitas. I think also fajitas were next.
Fair enough.
I think nachos, then fajitas.
I'm so ruled by my stomach that I couldn't concentrate on them until I saw what it was they were eating.
Yeah.
I was like, what is it? Cheesy.
You said last night that, I mean, we're going to come to George and Peggy, but you said at least actually at their meal people were eating. Because often those nachos, fajitas, whatever, just remain there. The platters just remain
it's
untucked.
Always the platters in the Australian one. They always have this beautiful platter of cheese, meats, grapes, chutneys, you know. Oh, it looks amazing, and they just sit there. It's never touched.
I'd be the person,
but they were actually
all
eating
around my mouth, stuffing my teeth. I'd be like, what did you say?
Yeah, what did you say? Something about walls.
I'm eating a burrito.
Too much crunching.
So Erica and Jordan played the, like, 1950s couple of, like, hosting dinner party.
Right, we spoke on Friday about Erica, and it's sort of the Luke situation where everything she was saying was right about the flirtation between JJ and Ella, but she took a bit of glee in delivering it. I don't know if that was just to get back at Ella.
Well, no, for me, and actually it was Johnny who pointed it out because I hadn't really twigged, it was the hypocrisy because she was saying, oh, I would never let someone talk about my man that way. But actually it was Ella who said she fancied JJ, but it was also Erica who said she fancied JJ. So she herself had said the same thing.
But I think she...
Not to the same extent.
Yeah, and I think the question was, which other bride or groom, partner, husband, wife, would you snog?
Right.
So she said JJ, wasn't it?
I'm instantly flipping now from criticising Erica to now defending her. Yeah, she said she fancied JJ out of the group, but she wasn't doing what Ella was doing, like licking her lips and tricks.
I don't think she said she fancied him. That's different, isn't it? If you asked a question, kiss, who would you kiss? Yeah. Doesn't mean you fancy them. Yeah, whereas if you're saying you fancy someone, that's a step further, I think.
Yeah.
And but then they were flirting on top.
But it was the fact that Erica was sat there sort of being like, oh, I can't believe that Bianca's been, like, you know, wronged in this way. Yeah. But actually she was sort of doing a similar thing of picking out JJ as the person she... I don't know. I feel like so many of my sentences end, I don't know. Who knows?
So confused.
But she was like, oh, I'd be fucking fuming. Those were her words to camera. I'd be fucking fuming. And JJ just sort of sat there like a sort of like.
Well, JJ was. I don't think a big thing should be made of it.
Of course.
Fucking don't.
Which was very Portia spin the bottle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Let's not talk about this anymore. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's not.
And the shy smile you mentioned the other day, I did. It's very infantile. That's what it is. His whole thing is like, I'm a little kid.
He sort of leans back and lets it all happen around him, and it's like, well, I've got nothing to do with it. He's not a protagonist. He sort of lets things happen around him, and then he's like, and with him and Bianca, when his words were so empty, when she was saying, sorry again, we're jumping all over the place, when she said, well, what are we going to do, like, how do you feel? And he was like, I think he said, let's just go back to like finding ourselves and remember we're in the process. And it was words that were strung together that had no meaning whatsoever. There wasn't even a hint of meaning to the words.
Yeah, that was the one note I've made. JJ, go back. Go back to what?
It made no sense.
They had never moved on from the beginning anyway, so why? They can't go back.
There's
nowhere to go back to.
That for me was screaming of, I want to stay in the process. I want to keep you happy enough that you say stay rather than leave.
Mm.
But I'm not promising you anything.
Yeah.
It was like the most empty words to try and placate her.
Yeah.
And I don't know how she remains placated, because it's like he didn't actually say anything.
Yeah, I don't know if she does really. But I think she is a bit stuck because I think she wants to try and she feels like she should. And she's in this process and, you know, she, I think, would like it to work. But she can tell it's not going to. I think she can tell. She can feel the connection isn't there really. But I think she doesn't quite know what to do with that.
And sometimes when you're clinging to wanting something to work, you do take any little like throwaway, you like take the crumbs. And so I think he sometimes says like, oh, but you're a beautiful girl, or you're the nicest person I've met, or like, and so I think she's clinging to those throwaway compliments, which I don't think they have a lot behind them. I don't think he necessarily means, I think you're beautiful, no, or you're the nicest person I've ever met. I think he's just saying them.
Oh, he does think that, but he doesn't feel that.
Maybe.
So he does think she's lovely, she's genuine, she's attractive, but he doesn't feel attracted to her.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference,
that's
isn't it?
So she's clinging to those things, and then he's saying empty words like, let's just go back to the process. What the hell does that mean? You haven't been doing anything.
You haven't moved forward from anywhere. There's nowhere to go back to.
No.
You can't leave JJ.
It's Dan's
you
words.
Must not leave. Let's talk about In-Laws Week. I think it was In-Laws Week. Possibly Family Week.
Family and Friends Week or something.
Family and Friends Week.
Some people just had like best mates, didn't they?
Yeah.
So like Luke and Jay, he had his mate.
Yes.
And she had her sister. Yeah. I like her sister.
Oh, yeah. I know. She seemed very genuine.
And his friends seemed all right. Johnny was like, well, maybe they'll get together. I think some of my romantic side's rubbing off on him. I was like, don't think that's going to happen. But
yeah.
And
they'll have more discussions about where to move.
Well, if they do get together, they can just share a car to go and visit.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's like Gavin and Stacey.
Uber
Jay and, Jay and her sister can move together. There you go.
Yeah. Make the women move, bloody hell.
Oh, well, this seems to be the thing, doesn't it? Because he it has laid it down like
this process,
steady, that is it, I am not moving.
Clear in his mind that he can't move, but doesn't want to force her to move. Well, you sort of,
yeah, I know.
It's not really a discussion there.
And he knows she's a people pleaser. I said that loads. Yeah. He said that loads last night.
I don't think she gives me people pleaser vibes. I think she's quite strong-willed in a good way. Anyway, we've seen this before where a couple, they're going well, and then suddenly halfway through, geography comes the sticking point. Mm. And you hear over and again of who's going to move. And it does become a bit of a sticking point, doesn't it?
Yeah,
but we shall see what happens. And I guess they're trying to like park it for now and like live in the moment.
I mean,
carpe diem.
It's funny isn't it, because like you think, oh well, get over it. Like if you were in Australia,
live in Birmingham.
Yeah, choose a neutral part, not Birmingham, maybe.
Everybody loses because you're not near any of your family or
you've
friends.
Only got each other.
Yeah. I thought you meant because they're living in Birmingham. No offence to the people of Birmingham, your bankrupt council.
Moving swiftly
political chat.
But yeah, I was going to say, oh, if they lived in Australia, it's literally like thousands of, of miles apart. But
it's madness.
That being said, when I was single and I was on dating apps and stuff, I put my radius was like 20 miles. I'm not fucking going
I'm
that
not
far.
Getting on a train.
Yeah. I will only do a long walk. Yeah. A light jog.
it's a massive thing. Like,
it is
she's
deal.
From like kind of Lancashire,
Burnley,
like North Lancashire. Yeah, Burnley. Yeah. To Essex. It's a long way.
And it's a whole different way of life in Essex. you've got to get a vajazzle before they let you in. I think it's becoming a bit of a step. We'll see what happens. But it was nice to see them with light-hearted members of their friends and family who weren't trying to catch them out.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
So like sometimes with friends and family, you get the sense people are coming in with a huge like chips on their shoulders,
yeah,
or like a game to play on trying to catch out the partner. But actually, Jay's sister's lovely and wasn't trying to catch Luke out, and Luke's friend seemed all right. The thing that I find funny is like, in what other walk of life, in what other situation are you sat around having drinks and dinner and you just have to talk about your sex life with your siblings and friends? Like, we've had sex, the sex is good. And I don't think I'm a prude, but it's just funny because it's like, in what other situation are you just sat there and out of nowhere, like, cold as day, you just go, the sex is good, and everyone's like, do you want a round of applause? Like, where did we go from there?
Everyone just started twirling up there at Tagliatelle.
I know. And the sister was like, well, it's better than it being shit, isn't it? Or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's just so funny because it's not normal conversation.
It's not.
Like, there's an element of privacy with your sex life with your partner where you don't bring it out in the open in front of them necessarily. Maybe you talk about it with your girlfriends or your male friends. I don't know. But to say, it's just funny. It's just a funny scenario. I would say
we maybe should have mentioned this in the intro, that stay tuned because we have an interview with Charlene Douglas, sex expert and intimacy coach. And she would, I imagine, I wasn't part of the interview, but I imagine she would say, it should be normal. You should be able to talk about it over spaghetti.
And I think I've already said the word sex like 20 times today, just talking to Charlene. No, it's a good interview, just stay tuned. But it's just funny, isn't it? Just seeing, it's just not what we're used to, I guess, as Brits.
Yes.
It's like just it being around the dinner table in the cold light of day. But they
at least they had a bottle of wine.
Yes. They seem like they're going well and their friends and family want it to work. No one's trying to trip them up.
No. I think, they still seem solid. And it's a genuine issue which needs to be overcome. This is the kind of stuff that we're kind of like to see on Maths. It's
the geography situation.
Yeah, it's like it's not unnecessary drama. It's an actual problem that, you know, couples have, and this particular couple has. So it'll be interesting to see how they resolve that.
Yeah.
Although I suppose the problem is it's something that'll happen after they leave the show, so we might never
honest, true. We'll just be like scrolling through their Instagrams to see if we can see Burnley in the background.
Oh, did you see, by the way, from the Australian series, Melinda and Leighton have split up?
Oh, yeah. I did see that,
about a year on or something.
Which, it's good innings, isn't it, to do a whole another year off camera, but it's a shame.
I think that's quite sad.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised. I don't really know why I was surprised, but, you know.
Well, I think
they
seem
like a nice couple.
I think that's what I mean. I think if you manage a whole year after the show, that seems like you're on a good track to lasting.
And that's going
to
be it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is quite sad.
Well, it's not like, you remember Matt and Dan? from Series 6 UK, and he lived it. That was a geography thing. He was in Leeds.
That's right.
Dan was in Northern Ireland. It was like yoga retreat kind of. The kind
he was
of
young. You, he was I a bit young. Yeah. He was a bit younger, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah. And they were together for like 2 years after that, and then decided to part ways. So.
A conscious uncoupling.
Yeah, that kind of business. Yeah, Melinda put out this big Instagram post. Melinda and Leighton put out this big Instagram post. Just do a GIF or something, we're done. I don't know. I don't need to read it.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
But the reason I said about like friends and family wanting to trip them up, or not wanting in this case, is when you go back to George and Peggy, people are coming with these like game plan, like... I don't know. I really felt for George, which I never thought I'd say.
Every week I feel more and more for George. Oh, and actually, right, well, we'll come back to it maybe, because we'll finish the point that you're making. I've seen the squatting video.
Have you?
I've seen it. Thank you to Michael Harmston, who's one of our longtime friends and followers, who it was going around last night. And, you know, I often complain about people sending us stuff, but then I also very much enjoy it.
So. What's your take on the squat?
I can see why people would say it's. Firstly, Holly's talking a fair amount of rubbish in general, in my opinion. Holly being Peggy's sister.
Yeah.
He's wearing shorts. He's just wearing normal shorts that people wear to the gym. He's in his bedroom. He's facing the wall doing squats. He's got a shirt on, like a t-shirt or whatever. He's been made to do 20 squats. And then at the end, he stands up and he sort of pulls his shorts up a bit so you can see, we turned around and you can see the front of his thighs. And I said to Claire, like, who you said you thought it was sexual. And I said, right, I can see how it's sexual, but there's a million other ways that it's not sexual. And especially someone like Matt, who's a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
The amount of time that he will spend, and other guys and other people will spend looking at his muscles, and it's totally non-sexual about like, oh, look at the head of that tricep there. You know, you're like, it's...
For me, I think it's about intent. So the person who had the baguettes, I'm learning the language. The person who had the baguettes, was it a girl or a gay guy who fancied him and wanted to see him score? Or was it a bloke taking the piss and being like, oh, mate, dude. Like, what is the intent behind it?
There's no way... from what I've seen, to know. But my gut feeling would be that it is, again, some rugby club lads who just wanted to...
Him to, like, humiliate himself a little bit?
Yeah, it's all about that. Like, Claire was saying, well, what's the fun in that? I was like, if you go to the rugby club, the only fun anyone ever gets is making other people's life worse.
Yeah, but I don't think...
Chin drinks until you throw up, and then we'll all cheer.
It's the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
But doing 20 squats...
Yeah, but the guy only had enough baguettes for 20.
We'll save them up for something better then. Yeah, there's my advice to you, baguette collectors.
Our takeaway is what a pathetic
keep
dare.
Your baguettes for something better.
I think it comes down to the fact that Peggy's feeling... I think she's so worried about what her friends and family are going to think. And so she doesn't want... I don't even know if she cares as much as she's letting on, or she's worried her family will be judging
that's
him.
It, yeah.
So she's preempting... Yeah. She's almost preempting other people's judgment by being super judgy herself.
Yeah.
And then, like, it was so inappropriate for her to bring up the rimming. Because it was basically shaming him for no purpose. Because then she was like, oh, don't tell mummy what it means. And I'm like, well, don't bring it up then.
But this is why I think that smacks to me that she was told to bring that up. I really do, because you just wouldn't. And she's already said that her family are more traditional, they wouldn't like the squatting, they wouldn't like the, you know, element of that element of George's life. So I don't believe out there Peggy would ever bring that up in front of her mum. In front of her sister, maybe her and her sister would have a conversation.
It felt like he was being hung out to dry. It felt
Peggy, and I think sort of not for the first time, sort of threw George under the bus.
Yeah.
Because... like, why do that? And she knows her sister who came, just like, I did a tweet saying I thought of the wedding. Like, George obviously came across the worst out of everyone at that wedding. But she was a bit annoying, but I thought, she's had a few drinks.
Well, the sister was heckling him. But not just heckling, like asking him really detailed questions from the wedding breakfast tables of like, so do you want kids then? Like across the room. And it's such a... Anyway, yeah, like you said, she might have had a few drinks. But with the Meet the Friends and Family night last night, George seemed genuinely nervous.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure whether that showed that he cares.
Yeah.
I got the sense that, like, he was shaking when he was doing the sushi and the drinks. And he was like, oh, I'm so nervous about, like, your sister and, like, making a good impression. And I was like, surely if he was here just to promote his YouTube channel or what's it called? Switch.
Twitch.
Switch. Twitch, apparently. Surely if he was here just to self-promote, he wouldn't have had those same nerves of meet the families. He seemed genuinely nervous.
He did seem genuinely nervous. And the thing that annoyed me...
And he didn't even know he was going to be thrown under the bus. He had every right to be nervous.
What annoyed me was that... he had answers to Holly's questions, which she acknowledged. But then when she's talking to Peggy, well, he's thought about what I'm going to ask him, and then he's got answers ready. And that's just like, seems false to me. It was what do you want? What she wanted was to catch him out.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's nothing to catch out. There's nothing for him to be ashamed of. If he's not right for your sister, he's not right for your sister. But don't ridicule the guy.
Well, it felt doomed because Peggy really cares what her family think. Mm. Although I remember feeling proud of her almost, like, when she stood up to her dad. I remember her dad was like,
bollocks. Up your fucking bollocks, you are.
And when she said she was going to do it, obviously she is like an empowered person who can make her own decisions, but it feels like her family's opinions are really important to her.
Yeah.
So to then go the extra mile to humiliate him, and it is almost like she's preempting them judging him by giving them all the worst information she can think of, mm-hmm. to let them make up their own mind, and then, I don't know, it feels doomed.
Yeah, it does. And he's right. I think, like, already he's not... Their perception of him is that he's not good enough. And you're never going to turn... I don't think he's ever going to turn that around. Because it's not something that he's done... Again, you know, we know the group don't like George, but we don't know why. From what we've seen, there's nothing there that he's done that's bad. Like, fair, they don't like that he's an online gamer.
Mm.
What, you want him to cut that out? I mean, it seems quite important to him. He's a bit juvenile, but is that the worst thing in the world?
He isn't going to give that up, is he? And he shouldn't, really, if it's important to him and that's what he wants to do and this part of his life. Then he has to keep that.
He's already given up rimming.
No, he sacrificed a lot. Remember?
He
sacrificed a lot. I think maybe he's just talking about 3 weeks of sex. What he sacrificed.
3 weeks without sex. And he's acting like he's going to die. I mean, I don't even want to really be on George's side. It's just certain incidents where I feel like when he's hung out to dry, you're like, well, that's not super fair.
In principle, I don't want to be on George's
side. Well, I don't know. He gave me the ick from day one of the boob chat.
Yeah.
And I know I keep coming back to that, but that...
We can't forget the boob chat.
Well, it was just many times.
It's ingrained now.
Yeah. And then now I'm like, well, I can see both sides, but I just... It feels doomed in terms of what they both want.
Yeah.
And you want them to meet in the middle, but is it going to happen? And then with the family and friends, it just makes it worse.
Yeah. And I don't know about his friend.
Cameron.
Because we're talking about Holly a lot, aren't we? And, you know, I mean, at least she kind of...
I don't
put our opinion out there and ask some questions, and you know, she's invested.
Well,
but what was he doing?
He gave
his
a very dubious opinion, which was like, put your foot down, be a bit selfish. I can't believe she hasn't given you sex in 3 weeks.
Be more selfish.
Think about yourself now.
I wouldn't have thought George would ever need to hear that advice.
No.
Be more selfish.
But like, in the grand scheme of things, can we all agree 3 weeks is not a very long amount
of time?
I
know.
No, it's when you first sort of met someone in a weird...
and you're trying to build the trust. So I'm like, this is not... You're not living the life of a monk. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And it's been rocky as well. There's been the whole squatting thing. There's been the whole OnlyFans
and
thing.
And all the group stuff as well.
All the group stuff.
That was big for them, wasn't it?
So actually,
Peggy was really upset by that.
I thought Cam's advice was bad.
not great advice. Better or worse than Arthur's friends when they told him to just go for the I love you in his vows. These guys, honestly...
But also, like, it just doesn't stand up, that advice, because George can't force Peggy.
Yeah.
Well, like,
no.
There's nothing you can do there that's, like, above board that forces someone to be ready before they are, so...
And it was only, like, 2 episodes ago he was saying, I need to think about we more than... I know.
Cam's giving him shit advice. Yeah. I know. It wasn't a great scene, was it, in general? Like, they didn't stand up for each other, they didn't...
Mm.
Like, in terms of George and Peggy, they didn't come as a united... They didn't have a united front. It was like her family against him, and then his friend giving him advice against her, and like and her throwing him under the bus, as we've talked about. So it just didn't...
Yeah, well, she says, oh, you know, I know the real George. It's like, what do you mean? I think that is the real George, but as soon as the first opportunity arises to lay out all his bad points, there they are, you know.
Maybe there are some like sweeter moments. We have seen some sweet things from them, where they look after each other on the couch, or like hold hands or say, how are you? You're right. And like, there's a few moments we see that. And presumably, like, if they're both still in the process, they must be having some laughs behind the scenes. Some laughs. Some slap knee laughs.
Yeah. But I mean, it seems like, you know, her saying, I know the real Georges, maybe that's the bit that she likes the most.
Yeah.
And then the bit she doesn't like the most,
it's not the real
she's kind of saying, that's not really him.
That's
so
true.
She can kind of bat them away a little
His
bit.
His Twitch
but she's
account
gonna
is
have
just
to integrate
joke,
them
yeah.
at
yeah.
some point. Otherwise, yeah. it's not going to work.
But he does have a bit of a juvenile, I don't know if it's an alter ego, but a persona.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if he can shake that off and grow up a little bit, maybe like he's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
So you guys already know that the romantic in me likes the new couple. So we've got Adrienne and Matt. And again, like, the way it's edited, they always start off as a bit of a caricature. So he was portrayed as this sort of, like, beefcake. And she was, in the first few seconds, portrayed as somebody who just, like, is really dolled up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see so much more of them and you start to fall in love with them a little bit because there's all these facets to them being into their other activities. Like, she's hiking up the hills. Mm. And she's had a really difficult, like, teenage years. Mm. And
she's
then he's...
She's into radiation.
Yeah, she's Homer Simpson, working in the nuclear part. So she is... You can't put her in a box. And then with him, you see this beefcake, but then he's got all these other parts to him. And you're like, these are lovely, well-rounded people who actually suit. They feel like they really suit.
They do. I hope that they go through it without any drama.
I know.
They just seem like normal people. I mean, aside from Matt's... unbelievable otherworldly physique.
What was your tweet, Wolverines?
Yeah, or something, yeah. When he was in the swimming pool, I put that, is this the tank they kept Wolverine in? The guy's fucking huge.
Yeah.
But anyway, they just seem like lovely, normal people. I don't want them to get... You need couple... I feel like it's a little unbalanced at the moment, this series. It's a bit too much weighted in favour of the drama.
I agree.
Yeah.
I want them... to go through it and just be like a nice couple who, fair enough, might have some road bumps based around real relationship issues.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be a week from now, oh God, Matt said something to Erica and now it's, you know, oh,
yeah.
It's...
I agree. You want them to be insulated from that.
Yeah.
And
involved in the group. Let's get on with the group. But let's not get involved in the drama of the group.
Involved but not involved.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they seem really well matched. And like, I love those moments at the altar where they turn around and there's genuine attraction. There's like a, you can see them like take a breath of relief that they like each other and the families sort of can tell. There's just always like a vibe, isn't there? And theirs was lovely. And then there was a really sweet bit where they were having their photos taken and they were holding each other around the waist, but having they were leaning back to chat.
Yeah,
and they were really, really close to each other, but both leaning back and being like, oh, so where's your mum? Oh, she's... And like, they were having this really deep conversation, but so close.
Yeah.
And you could just imagine the photographer being like, I'll just give them a minute. They seem to be having a real deep
moment.
But they do seem to have a lot in common, and it doesn't mean you're a good match just because you both have a poorly parent or that you've both been through some hardship and stuff. But I think they can probably appreciate where the other one's coming from.
Yeah.
More than if you'd never experienced anything like that.
Yeah. And they're both northern.
Your favourite
obviously helps. Yeah. I was like, ooh, where are they from? Not that far from us. That's
there are some serial killers around here, you know. Not everyone's
quite
here.
A few actually, aren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in Cumbria and he's Harrogate.
Harrogate.
They're not far, are they?
That's not too far.
Harrogate's nice.
We like Harrogate. I was so moved by her friendships. The fact that her friend took her in and then they were there as like the family on the day.
Yeah.
They were all crying. And they were so wanting it to work. You could really see they were really beautiful, beautiful friends who wanted it to work, were crying when she was stood there with him in the church and then, or the building. And then... Just lovely supportive friends.
You were quite impressed by his behaviour before she arrived, like saying hello to everyone.
Because it felt like, I think he decided in advance, I'm going to go to whoever's on that front row and just introduce myself and say hello.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think maybe when he got there, he realised they weren't parents, perhaps, you know, so he must have had to kind of clock that a bit.
Yeah.
But he still introduced himself, you know, how are you? I'm nervous. Mm. And I thought that was really nice. He's kind of building that connection with them straight away.
Well, when I go on, I'm definitely going to I'm going to say hello to people on the first row. And as soon as my bride, as soon as I turn around, I'm going like, oh, you look beautiful.
That's standard, what you have to do.
Standard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what you have to do. His second marriage. So sweet.
Is there something you wanted to tell me?
You'd be one of the oldest contestants they've ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah, at 41. I'm older than any. How old is Terence?
Terence is 40, I think.
Oh, fuck me.
Terence is 40.
We'd be like, and me and Claire would be like, the diversity this year is beautiful. That man's got a graying beard.
He used to be married. To someone.
He's already been married, but his tragic backstory is that his wife died in a boating accident. Oh,
luckily I'm not into boats.
Had to go out on the water.
But going back to how they are at the front, sometimes you can tell that nerves mean they act like a bit of a knob without realising. They go to the front and they're dead silent, they don't turn round, and like, it's not a good first impression, but it must just be the nerves. Mm-hmm. But he was great, wasn't he? He said hello to everybody. And then he was just beaming when she, and I mean, she is stunning. They're a beautiful couple, but her coming down the aisle, she sort of like floated in. And then it was really sweet because, well, not sweet, sweet's the wrong word, when he said, oh, you came down by yourself, and she said, it's empowering.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great answer.
Yeah, it was lovely.
I thought it was interesting when they were talking about the, well, obviously he's into fitness, was hoping to go to the Olympics as a diver until his back injury. Mm. And she lost 8 stone, which is a remarkable amount.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, them saying, like, fitness is so important to them? Normally we wouldn't bother matching on things like that.
Yeah, they did say that, didn't they, the experts? I don't know.
This time it feels like it symbolises more than the gym. And I feel like for them it's been... crutch is the wrong word. Mm-hmm. Like an anchoring thing of like finding your strength in routine. And, you know, if you're having to support a parent with MS or in a wheelchair or something, letting off some of that energy, you know, it's an element of control, isn't it? Of like, I can control my own fitness. I can let out some energy at the gym. So I don't think it's like trying to look buff necessarily, although to an extent, because he's a bodybuilder. I think it's also like, it's a happy place. It's a freeing place. It's a place where they don't have to think about like family troubles.
Yeah.
So I think they're united in like what it means to them rather than it being just very much about appearance.
I think that's the difference, is it's important for them, for their mental health, for their well-being, for their lifestyle. It's like an anchor. It's an integral part of how they live, rather than I go to the gym because I want to take loads of photos of myself and, you know, I want to go down that route.
Yes.
So it does have more of a kind of values feel to it.
Yeah.
Thinking about what the experts would look for.
Not like when, I can't remember their names now, but there was that couple where she was like, I need someone who likes house music and goes to the gym.
Carolina.
And you were like, that is not, it wasn't grounding for her. It was
I like gym, I like house music, I like going for coffee.
Yeah, it's like, good luck.
Oh yeah, he didn't drink coffee, the other guy, did he? And she was not impressed by that.
She wouldn't like you.
But this, and I hate house music. But she, no I don't. But she...
Just don't offend all the house fans who are listening.
I mean, I'm more of an ABBA fan, but Wham, we talked about Wham before, didn't we?
Yeah.
No, I think for them it represents something bigger.
It does.
And as big as his arms.
Oh, there was a gratuitous close-up on them, wasn't there?
I think there's going to be, because we're going to see him... What's tonight? Tonight's the other wedding, isn't it?
The other wedding.
And then the other sort of family coming round for some of the other
We haven't seen
couples.
Roz and Thomas with their family. We haven't seen Paul and Tasha or Laura and Arthur. So we've probably got that tonight.
Yeah.
Mm. Actually, we haven't seen Nathaniel and Ella with their family either.
No, and the teaser bit was Nathaniel on the phone to his friend.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So maybe
that's
not
budget was cut and
them.
They couldn't afford the train.
Yeah. Well, I reckon...
Or the train was on strike.
Yeah, true.
So tonight will be a couple of them. Two of those couples, I think.
And then
and
the
wedding.
New couple.
And then tomorrow will be the other two and the honeymoons.
Oh.
And then it's going to be the dinner party at the end of the week.
Right.
Which looks explosive.
No commitment ceremony this
week. No, commitment ceremony's on Monday.
I feel like people are just going to be listening on for the logistics. We just say, like, what's coming up? Tune in, because it's going to be this and this.
I mean, honestly, guys, we can just check the TV, guys.
A lot of it's guesswork. But yeah, the new couple have got really high hopes.
Yes.
I'm now pinning everything on this poor couple, Adrienne and
Jesus,
I'll
Matt. Tell you what, though. I hope when they come in, they don't tell Tasha that they're doing well.
No, keep it quiet.
I really like them. They seem great.
Yeah.
Okay, so stay tuned to hear Claire and Sarah talk to Charlene Douglas.
About sex.
Lots and lots of sex talk.
Might be useful for Peggy's mum to listen to this.
Yeah. Enlightening.
And we'll be back on Friday. Follow us at Maths Hysteria on Twitter, Instagram. We're on Facebook as well. Leave us a review if you can. That'd be useful.
Yeah.
But until Friday, goodbye from me, Omar Abid.
Goodbye from me, Sarah Clark.
Goodbye from me, Claire Limmer Abid.
And if you are Peggy's mum, might I recommend urbandictionary.com?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back. We're now joined by the beautiful, fabulous, amazing Charlene Douglas. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's so lovely to see your face, and it feels quite a privilege to have you to ourselves. We're used to seeing you on the big screen or the small screen. But now we've got you on our Zoom screen.
Have a small screen.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you. Thank you for joining us.
No worries.
How are you finding this season of maths? How is it different to before? And is it a good one?
So is it a good one? I'd say it's not a good one. It's a fantastic one.
Great answer.
It's doing really, really well. I feel like everywhere I go, people are asking me about Married at First Sight, like on the train, on the tube, on the bus, shopping. So I feel like everyone is really captured and captivated by the stories. So this year, I think, is phenomenal.
Yeah, we definitely are absolutely
enthralled.
When we come in to record the podcast, we try and hold off talking about it until we press record, because we're just buzzing to talk about what's happened.
So much to talk about. What do you think it is this year then that's made it so good, so interesting, that's been so engaging for people?
So I think that it really is because we've got a real diverse team today. Real diverse cast. And I think that, yeah, people can relate to the different characters on the show. So, you know, we've got a trans person, we've got someone that has a disability, we have black couples, we have people from up north, people from down south. Like, I feel like we've got a mixture of everyone. And I think people can relate to some of the stories as well. You know, as much as, you know, we're in the press for different reasons, people can relate to the stories. And you know, hopefully the advice that we give as experts really help people as well. So, yeah, I think it's just fantastic.
We agree. Yeah. We wouldn't have a fan podcast if we didn't love the show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I wanted to ask about Northerners, actually. He laughed at me because that was one of the questions I wrote down. Because, I'm the only Geordie on our podcast, even though we're based in Newcastle, almost by Manchester. And
I'm just
joining us from down south.
Boring southerner, yeah.
So I wondered about the amount of Northerners, because it's quite a surprise. There are a lot compared to other years. A deliberate choice or?
No, I think it's more, you know, just make sure that we've got the right people and the right matches. I think it just so happened that a lot of the people were from up north. But I think it's just so nice to hear just the different dialects and the accents. And it's always so funny on set because, you know, sometimes they'll say things. And I'm a Londoner. And I thought, you know, when you're a Londoner, you think that, you know English like that. You know it all. And then, you know, you'll speak to someone from up north and they'll say something. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, no. And then Paul and Mel are looking at me as a Londoner, like, what is that? And I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, of course, because you've got across the board of experts, you've got American,
Australian
and British, and actually they're looking at you and you're like, I haven't got a clue.
I can translate, but for their avatars, I'm like, I don't know, like, I'm not quite sure.
I'm gonna guess.
That means.
Actually wanted to ask you about your relationship with the other experts, because going into the process of matching couples, which we're all fascinated by the science of how are these people put together, are there things that you prefer above Paul or male prefer, you know, how is that process and how are you three involved together?
So I think the word is together. So we have different areas of expertise, but you know, when we're discussing and exploring how we want to match people, we usually kind of come to an agreement based on, you know, interests and values and hobbies and past relationships and what they want moving forward, like what does it for them. And of course, my area is about sex and intimacy, so that sexual compatibility is really important. But things like, you know, who initiates sex usually in a relationship and who doesn't, you know, how open they are talking about the world of intimacy. And there are lots of questions that go into it, and lots of, you know, we don't just ask questions and then we're like, okay, yeah, this is who we need to match them with. We really study them and understand who they are before we match them with people. So it's a whole process.
So if a couple were really well matched in some areas, but sexually they didn't seem like a great match, would you be saying this is a red flag, or maybe they can overcome that and actually they're really good on family values and hobbies, they're from the same geographical area, he's wild and she's not, or vice versa? Is that a red flag, or is that, you know?
It depends. We have to look at things holistically. So if they are the polar opposites in terms of sexual compatibility, we'd have to look at, like, are they open to compromise and negotiating? So, for example, you might get someone who comes across as maybe not really into sex or doesn't really want to talk about it. But the more you kind of explore the world of sex with them, the more you realise that actually it's not like they don't want to talk about sex, but the environment has to be right. They have to feel emotionally safe with a person. They like romance. They like the build-up. You know, so there are other factors in place. So it's not a kind of blanket, you like sex, I don't, so, you know, we can't be together kind of thing. It's, we look at things more in a holistic way.
That feels a little bit like George and Peggy might be a good example of that this season, where
there seems to be a mismatch at the moment, doesn't there, for them in terms of sexual intimacy. Peggy's not ready. George is saying he's sacrificed a lot, which I presume he's talking about sex. So we kind of wondered about where that might go, I guess, and what you would see as being helpful for them, not helpful for them. Can it work if they don't get there soon?
Let's talk about Peggy and George. So
yeah, I
love this couple, by the way, I have to say. George makes me laugh. He says, like, I'm a sex therapist, right? But George will say things where you think, did he just say that?
And you've heard everything.
He has this little
cheeky look about him when he says these things. So he's super funny. And Peggy is just, I don't know, I think there's just this kind of like little girl in her where she's like, oh my gosh, did he just say that kind of thing? But I have to say that it's not like Peggy doesn't like intimacy, like physical intimacy. And I think that's what some people are thinking, like, oh, George likes sex and Peggy doesn't. Like, that's not the case at all. What Peggy's saying is, there's a way that I'd like this to be done. Like, I need to build that trust. I need romance. I like the build up a little bit. I like the suspense. But what happens is, our George goes straight in there with like some naughty comment, and it then just takes Peggy back a few steps. So they just need to work on that, and then I think they will be fine.
Yeah, because she has her Prince Charming ideal, and every time he says something that could be construed as a bit crude or a bit jokey, for her it's quite jarring because it doesn't fit with her perfect guy. And I guess it's just interesting to watch, isn't it? It's interesting for us to watch as the viewer of how they find a middle ground, because he isn't your like perfectly behaved Prince Charming, but who is? There isn't a guy who would fit that anyway. So it's just interesting seeing them find like the granular of the everyday, and she wants that romance. And like you said, trust. That was really interesting hearing about trust, because it feels like she's sort of been testing him to see, like, is he trustworthy? I will not sleep with this man or be intimate with this man until he's proved himself. And he doesn't quite realize maybe what he's being tested on.
Yeah.
We have a little, I don't know what you think about this. We have a little theory on George that he does seem to be just saying what she wants to hear to some extent.
I mean, some people might say don't most men, but you know, I mean, look, you know, the thing is, like, a lot of my heterosexual friends, couples, clients, you'll get situations where the guys, when they're with the guys, as a woman, you probably wouldn't even recognize them in terms of things that they're saying, things they get away with, you know, kind of the jokes that they make, etc. But oftentimes they know that when they go back to their wives or their girlfriends, that that's not going to wash and that they can't behave in that way. George hasn't quite learned that.
No, he hasn't quite got, maybe I don't say this here and now. Maybe I say this elsewhere.
Yeah, this Charlene, this is why you're the expert, because that's perfectly put. And I'm just laughing because Omar's not here to defend men. There's no men here to defend themselves. I totally agree.
But he has, I guess it's about boundaries, isn't it? You know, what are his boundaries? And she's not sure because he'll take them to an extreme point. Or he doesn't have them anymore because he'll just agree with her. So I think she hasn't quite figured that out. Well, they haven't quite figured that out yet, enough for her to feel safe to be intimate with him.
And remember, this is a sort of fast-tracked process. So in the real world, you would have the time to really get to know someone, not just you and them, but you get to see them with their family, with their friends. You maybe you'd meet them after work. You'd hear how they react to certain situations with friends and family. So you're not getting any of that. And I think that you're just sort of looking at them, hoping that they are who they say they are. And obviously, you know, we've got other couples that are very, opinionated and have a lot to say. So she's also listening to what some of them are saying. And it's hard to know, can I trust this person?
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite couple? I mean, at the moment, you know the whole process because you've seen everything play out, but we're just halfway through. And do you have a favourite couple as the show is at the moment, halfway through, in terms of their intimate connection and their sexual compatibility, since that's your area of expertise? Do you have a favourite couple at the moment for that?
So I do feel like the question about the favourite couple comes up like every year. And I probably give the same answer in that I think there's something that I love about each of the couples.
Yeah.
And that is the genuine truth. I think there are definitely couples that maybe I resonate with more in terms of some of their stories. But I think overall, there's something in each of the couples that's just like, that's a bit of magic. You know, particularly when I see couples that are listening, that are taking on the feedback, that are trying, that are working through some of the difficulties, like that, brings a joy to my heart.
Yeah, we've seen a little bit of that with Roz and Thomas, haven't we?
I was just thinking about them. Yeah,
where it's like the tortoise and the hare, and they've been a tortoise, but it feels like it's plodding in the right direction.
And they kind of used sex as a way to gauge where, well, Roz did, I guess, from what we saw, as a way of gauging whether she liked him, whether she was interested in him or not, and that kind of fell.
Backfired,
didn't it? So what do you think of that approach to sex in a relationship?
I mean, I wouldn't advise people to do that. You know, I think that it's quite controversial, isn't it? And some people have said that if it was the other way around, we'd be really hard on the guy. If a guy said, look, I'm just going to have sex with you just to see whether there's something there. Yeah. But I think, you know, it was really heartbreaking to hear that Roz received so many negative comments and trolling around that. And she's such a nice person. She's the sweetest girl. Like, you know, if she's upset someone, like, her tears will come straight away because she just doesn't want to upset anybody. She's been very open. She's not been sneaky. And I think there is a physical attraction there for her with Thomas. And I think that's very much there. But Roz has been through a lot in life, like a lot of us have. And I think she's a bit more cautious about getting close to someone and making sure that it's real. I think Thomas is a bit further ahead where he kind of knows how he feels about Roz, but I think Roz is still kind of trying to work out what she's feeling. Hopefully she'll get there.
It's so interesting to watch. Like you say, sometimes we're fascinated by maths because we do see parallels with relationships we've had or relationships we're in. And it's like, sometimes these characters, these contestants can seem like caricatures, but actually the more we see of them, the more real and raw they are.
Yeah.
The more we see our own insecurities.
I would say the reason why there are certain, you know, viewers that are really reactive when they see some of these stories play out. It's probably because they recognize some of these stories either in their own lives or people that are close to them. You know, unfortunately and fortunately, lots of different types of people exist, different types of behaviors, right or wrong. And I think for some of us, it can be quite difficult to see certain behaviors play out. Like, you know, I know seeing some of the couples and some of the behaviors that I've had exes that have behaved like some of those people, you know, and so I'm privileged to be in a position where I can say, look, you know, I know that you're a good person. How about trying this a different way? And for most of the time, they do listen. They do take on the feedback.
Yeah, that's what we were going to ask about.
Yeah.
How you kind of create that balance around what you notice and then do follow up on with the couples,
yeah,
and what you notice that perhaps you have to kind of keep to yourself and how you manage that, because there's so much that happens in relationships that you can't kind of, you know, confront everything. So I wondered how you kind of approach that.
Basically, how do you hold back when you just yeah, want to shake them and go, do you see what you're
Why
doing,
you, you do
absolute
that?
Nutter? How do you restrain yourself?
Well, a couple of things. One, my face doesn't lie anyway. A lot of my like people that really know me very well, they're like, you weren't happy with that, Charlene. We can see it in your face expression. But it's really funny because when I watch the show, I also look at Paul and Mel, and I find it funny seeing their face expression because I know the things that make them smile and things that kind of maybe are a bit like, ooh, a bit annoying for them. But, you know, ultimately we want the couples to work out. And, you know, some of the couples' behaviours aren't great, but as people, they're good people. And I think that's where we come from, in that we see the person and the behaviour separately.
Right. Okay. No, that's yeah, really helpful.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe where as humans we fail, because we tie people up with their behaviors and we don't see the potential of, we write people off as goody and baddie and yeah, villain and hero. And it's like, that's actually a much healthier way of of separating. Like, I guess when you're raising a child, I don't know if you've got kids, Charlene, but you try and separate their behavior.
Yeah.
You don't say you're a bad boy, you're a yes, bad girl. You say that yes, wasn't great behavior.
Yes.
Let's try and do it
Let's
differently.
Talk about that.
And then we're treating yeah, the maths contestants like children, like that wasn't great behavior, was it? Let's try and change, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's so
it
true.
It must be a balance, because you're going to have a internal response to what's going on in that couple, aren't you? So you've got to kind of try to manage that. And then there's a weighing up of, do I kind of say that to that person or that to that person? Because maybe there's both people you want to bring something up to.
I mean, I would just say it to both. I would just say it in different ways. I feel like I can say the same thing in about 10 different ways.
Is it ever frustrating to see how the final edit, you know, because we heard from a previous contestant, Sophie, from last Maths UK,
yeah,
that you spend hours when it's a commitment ceremony, you spend hours and hours and hours recording, like an hour per couple. You're there for like 8 or 9 hours. It sounded intense. Is it ever frustrating to see that maybe some of your advice has been cut out from the final edit? Do you guys have a say in what's kept in any sense?
So do we have a say? No.
Right.
But, you know, we understand the world of TV. You know, if I was doing my own podcast, then you would hear me speaking a lot more. You'd hear a lot more of my advice. And the same for Paul and Mel. But, of course, it's TV. They have to squeeze it into, like, a real short space of time. So, you know, I get it. And I understand, like, the cast may feel that, you know, there were some really good parts that were missed. But, you know, it's a difficult job, isn't it, to be able to kind of have, like, hours of footage and kind of create a show from that and to create a 60-minute commitment ceremony. The commitment ceremonies, when we film them, are super long. I mean, they are so long, but the next day I feel like I'm recovering from a hangover. I'm shattered. I kid you not, like literally the next day I can't do anything.
Oh my goodness.
My body is drained because it takes a lot from you emotionally. We really want the couples to work. We're seeing tears, anger, walking out, slamming doors, shouting, screaming. We've seen it all. We've seen it all. But we're also seeing kissing and love and hugs and the I love yous. And so it's just a roller coaster of a lot of emotions. So to try and capture all of that for a commitment ceremony, I think takes some work. And I think the producers do a good job with that.
They do. And obviously they have to follow certain threads and storylines. I've said to you guys before, I would actually watch that uncut like 24 hours, you know, on original Big Brother.
Sure?
You know, when you could watch people sleeping, I think with Maths commitment ceremony, I would watch like the uncut version to see what Because I'm a loser.
Yeah, well, but I think it would be interesting because we'd hear more from the three of you if we had more time.
Yes.
And I guess those couples essentially get intensive therapy sessions with three experts every single week. So
they do.
Really intense, as you say, for you and for them as well.
Yeah, I think the thing is, though, just to say with some of the couples, so if you have done something not so great a few days before and you know that you're coming to the commitment ceremony, I do feel like they're probably a little bit nervous because it's like, you know, going to tell your therapist what you did and you know that your partner is going to really go in and say, and they did this and they did that. So, you know, I acknowledge that that's not always easy for them. But I think one sort of feedback that Paul, Mel and I have received is that we help people to feel comfortable there. And I don't know if I've read anywhere that any of them will come to the commitment ceremony and not feel like we've got their back or that we're protecting them or we want them to do well. We will challenge them if we see behaviour that we don't like, but I hope that none of them would ever say that we haven't been kind to them. Because one thing that Paul, Mel and I hold dear to our hearts is the importance of being kind.
I think you always are. And I think it's one criticism, sometimes people want you to be less kind because they're like, take this person down. This narcissist needs to be dragged. And I think people have quite vengeful, but then when they're watching it on TV or chatting about it on Twitter, and actually you guys are so kind that it's very refreshing, but it's almost some people are like, revenge.
The thing is, though, it doesn't work. So if you want people to change behavior, you have to be aware of how you share your feedback with them, your tone of voice, your body language, because otherwise you'll get the opposite result. So we have to build rapport with the couples. We want them to change behavior. So us going in isn't going to work. They will just be more defensive and then they'll be like, I'm just not going to change. So it's then a lose-lose situation for both of us.
Makes sense. Bringing to me the Portia moment that we thought we'd ask you about, because that seems to have been a big thing on social media. It's very popular.
Everywhere I go, I tell you, like, even now, the Portia and Terrence are not in the experiment anymore. And even now, everywhere I go, they're like, what do you think about Portia and Terrence? In fact, I've got two voice notes on my phone from friends where they're still talking about it.
We don't want to be boring and just ask the same questions as everybody else. But it was a big moment. And I think you were great when you were like, I don't think you are, my darling.
I have to just say, I do love Portia, though. I just want to say that.
Oh, of course, of course. Yeah, and we always defend the characters. We never want to be too mean. I mean, Omar can be pretty mean, can't he?
Yeah, he doesn't. Well,
yeah, I think he's seen some tweets. I'm like, you guys are going in.
But the way we saw it edited, often it was Terrence being asked to apologize and Portia never being asked to apologize back. But I think that was the edit, but it was, I think everyone was behind you, Charlene, when you said that. I think it was needed. And people sometimes need to be called out in a gentle, kind way.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. I sort of wanted to roll back a little bit because I'm so fascinated by how you end up as a sex and intimacy coach and expert. Is sex something that fascinated you from a young age? Is it something that you found yourself like being drawn towards later on? How did it actually all start for you?
Good question. I think, you know, growing up, sex wasn't really spoken about. It was like alluded to, or you'd watch TV shows and you'd see versions of intimacy and there was really no space to ask many more questions about it. You just had to make it up as you went along. And I think as I entered adulthood and had more open conversations with family and friends, I was just curious about it, like the truth, you know, like, you'd have relationships with guys and they'd be like, yeah, you know, I don't know, semen's good for your skin or all these kind of like weird myths, you know, or like, semen's good for digestion or something ridiculous like that. You know, just like, and you'd be thinking, you know, that just be you. And so to be in a position where you can learn the truth and the facts around sex and intimacy and share that with other people, It's just such a privilege and such an honour. And of course, to do that on a huge platform like Married at First Sight, you know, we're experimenting, I think, more with talking about sex on shows like this. I feel like the first season, they were like, let's see how much we can talk about it. The second season, we spoke about it a little bit more. We had the Keisha and Kwame kind of situation where it's like, let's kind of get down. And then this time around, I feel like there are definitely more conversations around sex and intimacy. And let's just say that there'll be a dinner party soon where some stuff goes on
Oh my goodness.
That even makes me think, oh my God.
That's a great little thing to look forward to.
Oh, we cannot wait for that.
I found it really interesting because as British people, sometimes we say the word sex with a bit of a sex. We don't try, but actually being intimate has become the buzzword on maths for like, oh, have you guys been intimate? And it's like intimate has become meaning like, you know, full sex or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's almost, but it's so interesting to watch because I don't know many situations where you'd sit down with your siblings or your parents or your best friend or the full national TV, like TV, and talk about your sex life.
Yeah.
I guess it just happens organically on the show where it's a part of their marriage. Like, has it been consummated and how's it going? And it's like,
although I don't know how organic it was, Peggy bringing up the rooming situation with her mum.
No, that was
I don't know how organic that was.
Well, I see Peggy's mum's face. Which she was asking about rimming was so funny. And I have to say, it's funny actually. So I've got a sister as well, and my sister messaged me the other day. She was like, "You remind me of Holly." I was like, "I love Holly. I think Holly's great." So I'm glad that I'm like Holly. But I think that's the thing, is that people kind of recognise different characters.
Yeah,
and it kind of resonates with their own lives. So it was very funny.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like some couples consummate their marriages on maths too soon and it can be detrimental? Or do you think there's no right or wrong? You know, people who that night that they meet sometimes consummate, is that for you, is that a red flag or is that absolutely fine?
I think it's absolutely fine. Yeah. I think you just have to do what feels right for you. I don't know if there's any formula. You know, you can have sex with someone early on and then that person either leaves afterwards or doesn't. You know, we know stories where people had sex on the first night and have been married for 30 years. So I don't know if there's any formula as such. I think whatever decision you make, it has to be right for you. It has to feel right. I think that's the most I can say on that.
No, I think that's fair because we do see such a variation, don't we, of couples that are a slow burn and end up being great, a slow burn and end up just fizzling, or the other way around where it's like you can see how attracted they are straight away on the wedding day.
Yeah.
And there's that element of celebration because it is like their wedding day. So I think for them, it's almost like, well, let's go for it. Yeah. We're married.
And what about the opposite then if they wait too long? Because I guess we've got...
What's too long though? Because if you think about it, it's really funny, actually, the questions people ask, it then gives you, it kind of helps you to understand maybe what their thoughts are on certain things in terms of too long or like straight away. But I would say this, in terms of, let's say the too long, in terms of like, let's say, I don't know, 3-4 months waiting, people will probably think, oh my gosh, like, when's this going to happen? But I think this, like, you have to just do what's right for you. There are people that we call like maybe more demisexuals, where they need that emotional connection to kind of build that romantic sexual attraction to a partner. They need to really feel close to you. They need to know you. And I think that's fine. You know, you just have to do what feels right to you. I think if you do anything that's against who you really are, you probably will regret that later on down the line. Mm.
And it's been interesting on this, we were talking about diversity earlier on, but it's interesting on this season that we've got Nathaniel, who's pansexual. And I think this is quite cool that we're seeing a diversity in terms of people's sexuality as well. Do you think that's something that maths would maybe follow going forward, of having maybe like bi couples or individuals and people who, I guess you can't really have people who are asexual because it might not be, or maybe you could.
Well, I think you could, because, you know, asexual people, they, you know, form like emotional connections with people and they find other ways of exploring intimacy. I think
I've shown my ignorance in my own question there, haven't I? Because that's interesting.
Yeah, they don't still
have relationships. Of course they would. That's a stupid question. Yeah, you're totally right.
No, but do you know what? I think it's an interesting question though, because I think people do assume that if you're asexual that there's no relationship really, you know. But I have a friend actually who's asexual, and her and her partner, they go on nice walks together, they like watch Netflix together, they do bike riding together, and they cuddle and they're really close. There's lots of like emotional intimacy. but there just isn't that sexual intimacy that happens in their relationship, and that's, you know, what they've agreed to. But I think it'd be great to have even like asexual people on Married at First Sight as well. I think Married at First Sight, we do not shy away from showing different types of relationships, sexualities, and people. So yeah, let's watch this space in terms of what happens next.
No, you're right. That would be fascinating.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be really encouraging and empowering for people watching who feel like they maybe fall into those different sexual camps, and to see it on TV.
Yeah. Where do you think MAFS needs to go next in terms of diversity?
So someone had suggested like a polyamorous relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, throuple, because I think that would be really interesting to see, you know, how the throuple negotiate boundaries, communication, jealousies, insecurities. I think that would be so fascinating to observe. So I'd definitely love to see that. But whether that happens or not, I don't know. I think that would be like a first. That's not happened across the world from America at first sight. So yeah, that would be great if something like that could happen. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. It could be called like throuple trouble or something.
That's
really interesting. You're blowing my mind. I feel so vanilla sometimes.
Well, Jill, I think that the world has changed, hasn't it? There's so much out there, so many differences now. And I think what's great about that is that people aren't just staying in their, you know, little couple bubble, but they're exploring different ways of doing things. And you know, and ultimately, you know, make sure they're more happier now than they ever have been. So that's amazing.
We saw like a microcosmic version of that with the game of spin the bottle. Because I guess if your partner is there and you've put boundaries in of like, it's not cheating to snog in, you know, like we saw how people can explore their sexuality within their relationship. And it doesn't always mean, it means different things for different people.
Yeah.
On a real microcosm, because it was just a little game of spin the bottle. We're not talking about swinging, but it was, interesting that it brought up on that low level. It did bring up jealousy. Yeah. It brought up boundaries. It brought up people playing together. But also I saw something about how actually Laura was there and Arthur wasn't, but it wasn't made anything of. Whereas Portia, it was made into a huge thing that Terence wasn't there, but apparently Arthur must have been ill. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, Arthur vanished.
I think the whole spin the bottle game. So there are still pieces of the puzzle that we're not completely sure about. And I think that the couples are going to keep some parts of this game closely to their chest. And, you know, understandably so. I think the overriding issue was around boundaries within your relationships.
Yeah.
And of course, there are couples where they can place in the bottle, they can kiss different people, and it's absolutely fine. But if you haven't had a conversation with a partner and it hasn't been agreed as part of your boundary within your relationship, then it causes this, you know, some of what we saw, you know, some of the conflict and the arguments. So yeah, the whole, I think the learning from this for viewers and for people in general was that if you, and it's not just spin the bottle, you know, it's anything, you have to have a conversation about what is and isn't acceptable. It's even things like, you know, liking other people on Instagram, clicking like, putting the fire emojis. I mean, I put recently that made the news, I just said like, sort of, dear married men, like, please like say hello to your wives every morning, not me. Because I would get this morning, every morning. I'd get fire emoji signs on a picture. And sometimes a picture wasn't a sexy picture. It'd be me, I don't know, looking like this, you know. And it'd be like, I just don't need that kind of adoration and, you know, feedback from someone who's married as well. Like, if you're single and you want to see if I'm single, you want to engage with me, that's different. But you're married. And you go on their Instagram pages and it's like they've got their wives. You know, they're like, happy anniversary. And I'm just like,
So interesting, because that opens up a whole nother world of what constitutes cheating. Because you're right, if you find out your partner has even been sending a little one tap fire emoji to hot women or men or whatever, that is really a breach of trust, isn't it?
And
a
bit in like, some relationships.
Sorry. I mean, if you were to find out and you didn't know and you hadn't discussed it, then of course, but it's like one little tap and it could be a real shaker of what. Do you ever find when you're out and about, people approach you for sex advice if you're just on the bus or on the train? Sort of things do people ask you?
Oh, everything. It normally starts with, in fact, on the tube the other day, a lady announced, oh my gosh, you're the sex therapist from Married at First Sight. And you know, when you just want to sort of quietly be on the tube and not be recognized. And then she started asking me questions about her relationship. And I think she was, I mean, I kind of zoned out with some of it because I was thinking, I'm not in work mode right now.
Not so
I just want to go grocery shopping or wherever I was going. And she was like talking about like having low sex drive and because she's coming up to the menopause, et cetera, et cetera. So I gave her a little bit of advice, but it just became a bit like, oh gosh, this isn't the time to have this conversation.
Yeah, it's a lot to hear when you're just sitting on the tube. And
and I guess
not in work mode.
I wonder if people see you and their inhibitions drop a little because they feel like they know you. They feel like they know that you're trustworthy and you're kind and you give good advice. And so you would never say to a stranger, oh, I've got a low sex drive because I'm on, do you know what I mean? But they see you, Charlene, and they just, all the inhibitions drop away on the tube when other people.
Yeah. But the thing is as well, I think because I do want to help, and I think when you have the knowledge around what makes a healthy sexual relationship, you do want to impart that knowledge and give and tell people. But it is all about timing as well. And you know, I always say this with my clients that I work with, if you want to speak to your husband or your wife or whoever about sex, choose the right timing, not kind of mid-sex when they think they're doing great. You know, you then say, do you know what, babe, actually,
wrong moves.
Like this. That might not be the time to say it. So yeah, it's all about time. Timing's important and that's
good. Would you recommend for a lot of people it's sitting down with a drink in the evening and having like a nice gentle chat? Or does it just really vary couple to couple?
I think it depends. I think if you've got a partner who doesn't like the let's talk kind of setup, then you might have to kind of naturally do it maybe when you're driving somewhere, maybe your partner's driving, so you're not looking at each other and it's not so intense. But you just naturally kind of say, you know, like, hey, babe, you know, I saw a great sex therapist called Charlene Douglas. And she was, and she was saying X, Y, Z. But what were your thoughts about that? And then that's a really like non-threatening environment to have a conversation like that. But for others, it might be an actual date night where you sit down, have a conversation like say, with a glass of wine, maybe watching Married at First Sight.
Yeah.
And then you talk about maybe some of the things that are going on in your relationship. But I think definitely women in particular, and I can say that because I'm a woman, sometimes when we feel quite emotional, we just want to say what we feel. But you do have to be careful your tone of voice, your choice of language, so that your partner feels empowered and they feel not attacked, because that's where you'll get the change if they feel like you're on the same side as them.
Completely.
Yeah.
I remember reading somewhere that for a lot of people it is on a walk or driving because you're doing something else and you're looking ahead rather than intently and intensely at each other. And things naturally can come up on a walk and it's just, you've got a changing environment going past you. It's
like a non-threatening space.
Yeah, that's it. As long as you're not walking through anything that is threatening.
Maybe not on the TV.
No, that's really... Do you have any sort of like top tips you want to share with our listeners about engaging in like healthy sexual relationships? But obviously, I appreciate everybody's different. But is there anything that's sort of like a universal truth to you that...
I would say understand your own body and mind, your turn-ons and turn-offs before you approach your partner to have a discussion. There's nothing worse than you saying, hey, let's have a conversation about sex. Then you've got your partner's attention and then you're trying to think about what you're feeling whilst they're staring at you. That is not going to go well. Know your body, know what you like. And then once you are in that position where you know what you want from a sexual relationship, find the right time to have that conversation with your partner. Make sure you're not being judgmental in terms of what they share with you. And remember, just because you or your partner had the best sex in the past doesn't mean that you can't create your own version of a great sexual relationship moving forward. New partner, new experiences.
Yeah. So don't bring in old like hurts and things and old experiences. Start fresh with each new person.
Yeah, because sometimes you'll get partners where they're like, oh, my ex, you know, we used to do all this kind of stuff. And, you know, she was really adventurous in the bedroom. And then it can make your partner maybe feel a bit uncomfortable. But, you know, you might have had great sex with a partner, but this your ex-partner, but this is a new partner now. And if you understand the world of sex, you know that there are lots of things to choose from. Lots of things to choose from. So the joy of being in, for example, in a new relationship is that you can choose what this new sexual experience looks like, and it can be fantastic.
Absolutely. I presume if you're mentioning too much of sex you've enjoyed with somebody else, your partner's then going to worry that you're picturing them or imagining previous scenarios, and it's like, let's keep those separate. Yeah. You need to talk about in a more objective way. Like, I've enjoyed this in the past, but maybe not actually who with, or.
Because then there's a comparison straight away, isn't there? And maybe the partner feels they have to live up to how that other person was.
Yeah.
Rather than, like you say, it's a different relationship now. It's
working together. But the thing is, we all have a past. We don't have to sort of push it in our partner's face, do we? You know? So there are some things that can just be left in the past and just left up in our memory. But it's okay if that then helps us to understand what it is that we like and what it is we don't like. I think for me, you know, sex is about pleasure and fun. And for so many couples that I work with, it's like a chore. They're doing things that they don't really want to do just because they're supposed to do it. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is explore the world of sex so that you can understand what you like and what you don't like. There's a lot to choose from. You don't just have to choose from the top five.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That sounds like advice for married couples. I was just thinking, you know, as we're not married, but you're married and
I'd happily marry you.
So the advice for married couple, I guess, is kind of similar to what you said. There's a lot to choose from.
Yeah, absolutely. And have fun with it. Like, I think, you know, everyone just sees sex as this serious thing that you do when you're in a relationship. But have fun with it. And also, sorry, I've got so much advice now. Also, don't always put time limits on your sexual time with a partner, because that just puts a lot of pressure on people. Like, if you had like a Saturday free to just have fun, explore each other's bodies, have some nice food, nice drink, watch some TV, cuddle, kiss, do all sorts of great, wonderful things with each other, you will see what your body can do, and you'll experience pleasure like you've never experienced it before.
Right, without time frames on, like, at 2 o'clock, we've got to go do the Aldi shop and then the dog. Who are these mystical people who have a whole free Saturday?
Or maybe like a Sunday afternoon or something. Sunday afternoon. But I think it's just, take the time restraint out of it, because I think that kind of, that puts a lot of pressure on people. It puts a lot of pressure on people to orgasm, puts a lot of pressure on people to pretend that they're enjoying it, it puts a lot of pressure on people to relax. Like, allow all those things to happen organically by giving yourself the pleasure of time.
Right. Yeah. So great. People should follow you, shouldn't they, on Charlene Douglas Official?
They should, they.
On Instagram. Is that the main place that you share what you're up to? So Charlene Douglas Official on Instagram. People should follow you for, you know, this beautiful intimate advice. And you're so lovely with it, because you're so non-judgmental. You're so open. You don't embarrass easily, clearly. And I think you're just really kind of meeting people where they're at. And like you say, everybody's completely different. Yes. And for some people, like we talked about asexuality, for some people, sexuality is not a huge thing. But intimacy is different, isn't it? Being intimate with people doesn't always mean being sexual. Mm. It means being close and open.
Yeah.
So they should follow you there for more advice. And it's been so...
And there's often good infographics, isn't there? I like it when you post those.
Oh, everyone loves an infographic.
Thank you.
I love them.
You can say it's your favourites.
Yes. And then I think that opens up conversations, because obviously we share an Insta. So, you know, on the max. Yeah,
things you can show your partner or your friends on a girl's night out.
Of course.
Charlene, it's been absolutely gorgeous talking to you. Oh, we're really privileged that you've joined us.
Thank you so much.
On Max Hysteria. And we'll be watching you tonight. On TV.
Yeah, we will. And we're looking forward to that dinner party that you mentioned.
I know. Yes. I can't wait.
Yes, it's coming up very soon.
Thank you so much. Have a gorgeous day.
You too. Thank you, ladies.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.